az bombán van.
I know I said some of this this morning. I'm going to say it again because repetition works. But first of all, I like anagrams, and I just learned a couple of interesting anagrams following on from what Chris said about our friend Tony. PM Tony Blair, Prime Minister Tony Blair. PM Tony Blair works out on Tory Plan B. Tony Blair MA works out at abnormality. I think there's a lot of truth in anagrams, but I haven't worked out an anagram for my name yet. So we've come 7 years down the line as far as the LCA is concerned. Before that, we started campaigning in Norwich as the CLCIA in 1991 at the inspiration of some people who are here today, Jack and Tina and Charlie and Kathy and myself and a few other people. And the aim of the CLCIA was to try to get an active cannabis movement again, because the previous legalised cannabis campaign had fallen into some, you know, I think they had some sort of arguments, but we thought they weren't doing enough. And there was a series of busts in Norwich. There was something like 30 houses raided, 5 restaurants, some garages, and it was a knock-on effect. It was, they were going somewhere, the police were finding a notebook, an address book, they were going somewhere else, they were following them up, then they were going somewhere else, and there was hundreds of people arrested, literally, hundreds of people searched, and it ended up with a court case, where there was about 5 people. But they were basically barging into people's houses, you know. They caught one old lady in the toilet. I mean, she was 80 years old in the toilet, and they barged in on her. And, you know, this was, you know, terrible behaviour. So we started writing to MPs and writing to bishops and writing letters to the newspapers. Nothing. Nothing. The newspapers didn't want to know. The MPs didn't want to know. Well, it was old Tony Banks. Tony Banks, I think, passed away. He was promoted to be the Minister of Sport. But in those days, he was the only MP who was in any way pro-legalisation. We pushed on, and then all of a sudden, well, 5-6 years later, Howard Marks arrived. We went down to London and we said to Howard Marks, would you like to think about standing for election? We're looking for a candidate and your idea. And he said, well, provided it's single issue. I don't want to complicate it with other issues. And Howard Marks stood in 4 constituencies, 2 in Norwich, north and south, also in Neath in Wales, and also in Southampton. He gained about 1.5% of the vote. Well, actually, when the result was declared, Howard's face dropped. He thought he was going to get a lot more votes. I kind of knew he wasn't, because I know what people are like. Howard didn't understand the full implications of what was happening, because after that, a Sunday newspaper picked up on it. Rosie Boycott, pro-legalisation at the time. Since then, I think she's turned against legalisation, and apparently now she's in favour again. But she must have picked up on it, convinced the owners of the Independent on Sunday that running a decriminalised cannabis campaign was a good idea. We could have a march in London. We could get lots of signatures on a petition, which they did. We could have a conference and we could sell more newspapers, which they did. Eventually, that led to people like Chris Saunders, I think is here, and a few other people, Shane Collins in London, who worked together with some people in America, and it started an annual march, you know. And eventually, we decided that Howard had been recognised as an independent candidate. And it was actually in a meeting with the Green Party, and I said to them, well, if you're not going to fight this issue, we'll form a party, we'll call ourselves the Green Leaf Party. You can't call yourself Green Anything Party, because they own the word green, politically. And I thought, well, what if somebody forms a cannabis party then? So we can't stand for cannabis, and they could use the leaf as an emblem, and we won't be able to stand for cannabis. They could say whatever they want. They could be the anti-cannabis campaign, and we wouldn't be able to stand as a legalised cannabis campaign because we wouldn't be able to use the word cannabis, and we wouldn't use the leaf. So that night we went home, I looked on the internet, 2-3 days later we had the forms, we registered the political party. The reason why we did that was to protect the name and protect the leaf, not to own it, but to make it available to everyone. We came up with a general set of principles that we thought people could acknowledge and sign up to. And we started gathering momentum. We had a first local candidate in Norwich, Danny Tungate, I think it was 1999. In the year 2000, we had about 5 candidates in Norwich. In the year 2001, we had 13 candidates in the general election. Last year, we had 21 candidates in the general election and some local elections. Are we winning? This is the question. Are we winning? How do we know if we're winning? Now, we go to the polls in Norwich in 1997, Howard Marks did. He gained about 1%, 1.5% of the votes. Then I stood in 2001. I got about the same. And then last year, Don stood, it dropped. Why did it drop? Because we're losing. No, it dropped because we're winning. Now, this is a strange thing. I went to a government drug meeting in Cambridge, and they said about yardsticks. Yardsticks are what you use to measure something. What are the government's yardsticks to suggest to them that their policy is winning? Now, this is strange because the answer that they gave is the price is going up and the quality is going down. And they're talking about hard drugs, really. So the price, if the price is going up, so the dealers are making more money, and the quality is going down, so the dealers are making more money, they're winning. I couldn't work that out. But then I did. It's a yardstick. If you find somebody, for instance, they're suffering from an illness and they're going to die, right? It's a terrible illness. And you get a medicine and you give them the medicine and their face comes out with red spots and they start shaking and they say, this is terrible. But the doctors know that this is a symptom that the medicine is working. This is a yardstick. A yardstick isn't necessarily a desirable thing. It's something that they use to measure. If you understand what I'm saying, that the face and the tremors are a sign that it's working. That lower prices, the higher prices, the lower quality means that they're winning because the dealers are getting greedier, they're charging more and more, it's lower and lower quality, and they think, therefore, less people are going to use it. Therefore, they're putting people off using drugs, so they're winning. That's the argument. My argument is, what is our yardstick? Our yardstick isn't the number of votes we get. Our yardstick is what the effect that we're having on politics in this country. When we started with LCA, and I think throughout the history of all the elections we stood in, over 75 elections, I've hardly met anyone who actually wanted to be elected. So it seems a bit strange, right? Why are you standing for election if you don't want to be elected? The reason why we're standing for election, because we have something to say. Cannabis users need to be represented and nobody out there is going to do it for us. They didn't do it. All those political parties, the Green Party come down from Ecology Party in the 80s. The Lib Dems, they can spout on about liberal-minded policies and whatever. And they still say, oh, we need a Royal Commission. Well, we should change the law so we don't arrest people for having a couple of plants or smoking it at home. So what? You shouldn't arrest people for having a couple of plants and smoking it at home anyway. Even though it's illegal, you shouldn't arrest people for doing a private thing in private when they're not hurting anyone else. You don't have to advocate that people should be allowed to do that. We don't have to ask for our rights for privacy, ask for our rights to believe what we want, practice our beliefs and our religion. We don't have to ask for them. We already have them. They're sealed. They're written in stone. It's the United Nations charters. It's a thing which all the countries have signed up to. It says you can believe what you want. It doesn't say you have to be a religion. It doesn't say that some authority has to accept that it's a genuine belief. It says you can believe what you want. You have a right to change your belief, to change your religion, and you have a right to practice that religion alone or with others. And the only reason that they can come to stop that is if you are threatening public health or you're threatening public order. That right already exists. We really need to have it acknowledged. I talked to a barrister and he said, the courts will never accept that cannabis is a religion. It doesn't say in the United Nations Charter anything about the courts have to accept it's a religion. It says you're entitled to your own religion. You are entitled to a national religion, but you are entitled to your own religion, your own beliefs. Got nothing to do with the government, got nothing to do with the courts, got nothing to do with the United Nations. It's got everything to do with rights. Nobody represents that. We represent ourselves. So we come out, we start talking sense. I think we start talking sense. You know, we issue a challenge to the government. We challenge anybody in the world. Stand up here and convince this audience that it is right to prosecute somebody for having a joint in their own home, for growing a plant in their own home. Right? How can they possibly say it's right? I was on the radio and they said yesterday, and one of the questions was about the harm that cannabis is doing. An organisation has just said that it clogs the brain. If you smoke cannabis for 35 years, you'll end up like me. My brain's clogged. I'm sorry. Right? I didn't know it was illegal to clog your brain. You know, sugar clogs the brain if you have too much of it. Milk, chocolate bars. If you go and eat all those chocolate bars, you'll have a clogged brain. Drink all the coffee over there, you'll have a clogged brain. Take whatever you want. Do anything. Watch too much television. Sit at the computer too long. McDonald's will clog everything.
Cancer.
Yeah, so it's not illegal to clog your brain. So why are they suddenly talking about cannabis clogs the brain? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And I said, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not campaigning to stop people clogging their brains. I'm not campaigning so people could clear their heads and sort their lives out, because that's pointless, because they're not going to do it. I'm campaigning to stop the people getting arrested when they don't deserve to be arrested. And I think that has always been, for me, the focal point of the LCA, the focal point of the campaign. Other people, we see advantages to legalisation, increased medical access, stuff like that. We see advantages to that. And the environmental advantages. And I'll tell you what, from my personal point of view, but for the point of the argument, I don't care about the environment. I don't care about your medicine. I don't care about the purity of cannabis. You know, I don't care. What I'm saying is, I do care about all that, but what I'm saying is that is irrelevant. It doesn't matter if it's got no ecological benefit and no medical benefit and nothing. It is still wrong to come into your house and arrest you for smoking a plant. It's still wrong. It doesn't matter. The rest of it, cannabis is a wonderful plant. That's the reason why it's banned. It isn't banned to stop people smoking it. It isn't. It is banned to stop industry. Briefly, somebody mentioned, I think it was Chris mentioned, the American Civil War. The North, good old North, you know, of the line, fought the bad old South to release the slaves. You know, the North was the industrial North. The South was the agricultural place. Yeah, release the slaves. Where did the slaves go? They all went north and worked for a pittance in the factory. They weren't called slaves, they were called workers. That built the factories up. It's a, it's an, this plant is the plant of the people. We can grow our own medicine, we can grow our own clothes, we can make our own houses, we can oil our own cars, we can fuel our own cars, our own planes, we can have our own religion, so many things that this plant can do, right? And they want to ban it because I want to have a joint. Doesn't make sense. So I haven't even got to the first little bit of my speech yet.
Plenty more time.
Yeah. So 1% of the votes last general election. In terms of Parliament, if we had PR, true PR, we'd have 6 MPs, or 6.5 MPs. Said this morning, I was going to do a half, but 6 MPs, right? 6 MPs can change government. 6 MPs can have an effect. So can 1% of the vote. Despite the Iraq war and the anti-Iraq war, despite the anti-ID cards, despite everything else, all the other political issues, despite all those parties moving their policies a little bit closer to us, despite that, we still had 1% of the population, about 500,000 voters if it was national, they still vote the LCA because they think it's important, because the others aren't getting the job done. They say, oh, the LCA, if they're elected, they can't run a government. Well, Labour can't run a government. Yeah, well, I remember what they're called. It's clogged my brain. I've decided that I've thought about it and I've looked at the problems that we have, and one of the things is the arguments. You know, in the last few years or so, really, since the general election, I found that the LCA is attacked by a lot of people. They say, oh, I do this, I grow weed, I'm a medical user, you don't represent me, blah, 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 blah. You know, I say, I don't care, I'm not there to represent you, I'm there to represent me. We're there to represent the LCA. If you want to agree with us, great. If you don't, why are you attacking us? I'll tell you why they're attacking, because we're winning. That's simple. We're winning, they don't want it for some reason. They've got their own motives, and we never know who they are because they all use nicknames and send emails. So the wrong people are punished. This is what I want to say. Some people who are involved with cannabis deserve to be punished. In fact, they deserve to go to prison. You know why? Because it's not cannabis. They're selling soap bar. They're selling squidgy black. They're selling plants that may be sprayed. They're not doing it properly. They don't care. They're trying to make money. Right? Now, if cannabis was legalised tomorrow, soap bar would be illegal. It's simple. If somebody sells a dirty pint of milk, you go nick them. You take them to the public health, whatever. Same with cannabis. If it's legal and it's not the right weight, or it's sprayed with some chemical and they basically detect it, or it's got pollutants in it, it's still illegal. That's what I believe will protect people. So we've now got to the stage when, funny enough, like this challenge that we've been like issuing for the last few years, and all of a sudden, okay, we didn't get a lot of votes in Norwich last year, but we had a man sitting there next to Charles Clarke. And Charles Clarke finally agreed he'd meet us. So there was a meeting in London. They went down to a meeting, and it's postponed at the last minute. But they had a mini meeting. Now we've got two more meetings. Now we're going to, Dom and maybe other people, I'm not sure, will go to the first meeting. I'll go to the second meeting. What am I going to say? We want cannabis legal. What's Charles Clarke going to say? We don't. You're not getting it in the meeting. Pointless going. So I thought, let's try a different approach. Let's try a hand across the table and say, look, in all honesty, like, are you happy with the situation is at the moment? In all honesty, are the mental health Mind is the one, I think. Mind, or Sane, they call themselves. Is it Insane? And they basically they're arguing to keep it illegal. But they're not happy with the situation at the moment. We're smokers and the growers and the users, and we're not happy with the situation at the moment, and the government's not. So why don't we start like talking and see if we can get somewhere with this? Firstly, the wrong people are being punished. The medical users are being punished. The people who don't have victims, who are not making a nuisance of themselves, are being punished. And the people who grow it for other people to use as medicine and don't sell it, they just give it to them. Secondly, when you're faced with a law that just seems to be total nonsense, you become alienated to the law. You start to wonder about all the other laws. If they're going to tell us this and they're going to tell us this, well, they say cannabis is bad for you and seems all right. Well, maybe heroin's all right. Maybe, you know, maybe cocaine's all right. Sure, for some people it is, you know. Maybe alcohol's all right. For some people it isn't, you know. But at the end of the day, they'll go on and on, like arresting the wrong people. And I would like to say to Charles Clark, you use your yardstick and you convince me that the quality is going down and the price is going up and therefore you're winning. I tell you what, like, as far as weed's concerned, the price is going down and the quality is going up, so they're losing. You know, so they tell me what is the point of what they're doing. As far as the law is concerned, it doesn't matter why you use cannabis, you're breaking the law anyway, you could get arrested, you could be sent to prison. This is in a major sort of step forward, really, getting this meeting with Charles Clark. And what I want to do is open it up so that lots of people can have consultations with the government. So, and Charles Clark's already agreed that he will listen to us and they will actually advise us, ask us for our opinions. But we've got to the stage, and I just want to wind up here now, because I just want to say, in the election last year in Norwich, I went to the count, where they count the election results. And I sat there, and there was Farouk, and there was myself, and there was Don, and there was Steve, and Leslie. Leslie was the exception, actually, but she was there as well. And we sat there, and I thought, if somebody walked in and looked at us and said, who are they? They think, we're not, we can't be the Labour Party, because we haven't got suits on, and they just wear suits. We can't be the Tories, because we don't have our noses in the hair. Now, all Tories, by the way, some compassionate Tories are pro-legalisation as well. So will we be the Green Party? Well, no, actually our sweaters weren't handmade, so we probably wouldn't be the Green Party. So who would we be? The Grey Party. We're all going grey. We're all in our 50s. Some of us are in our 60s. What are we doing? We're fighting for, like, kids, and we're fighting for this, and we're wearing ourselves out and racking our brains, and people are saying you need a new approach. We do. We need new, younger people. We need to sort out this LCA. One of the problems is that the activists and the admin are the same people. The people who actually do all the work, like me and Clara and Don and Hugh and Pete, I run around, we do all the work, right, and from my own experience, I'd rather be writing letters to the press and stuff like that than doing filing and stuff like that. So this is my plan. We hire a secretary. Yay! Right. Do you know, if we had £100 a week, we could hire a secretary. Where do we get £100 a week? From the members. Today, at this day conference, we've reached another landmark. We now have 101 members. £55 a week. Now, I want to ask you all whether you're a member or you're not a member, right? We can't expect that 101 members to do this. So I'm saying if we can get 50 or 60 people, we're on a winner, right? go and find in the next month one new member or two new members. It's 50 pence a week. They can pay it by standing order, £2 a month. They can pay £12 for 6 months. They can pay £24 for a year. When we reach the 200 member mark, we will have a secretary. It will all change. The activists can be active. The secretary will do the job. If the secretary doesn't do the job, the secretary can be sacked. And we can get on with campaigning. And we can, with that, I believe, achieve our aims. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot for your speech. Thank you.